Hello and welcome to the PB&K show. This is the inaugural episode featuring myself, Anthony Palm, and my best bud, Brandon Pichet. But we're going to refer to him as Brando. So just quick backstory. The name of the show is derived from my last name, Palm, because that was my name growing up, Brando. And then Knight is our best friend, Mike Knight, who's not here. We don't know where he is, but yeah, he'll be on sometimes.
M-I-A.
But it's probably mostly going to be Brando and I. So what's good, man?
Hey, man. Glad to finally tune in. I know it's been a while for us to try to get something going. It's good to be able to find a way and get it started.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of wanting to do something like this with you guys for a while now. So it's cool that we finally figured out a way to do it. And we're using an app called Anchor, which is pretty cool. It's free. So that's pretty rad. We're probably going to do a lot of shorter episodes, like 15, 20 minutes. Mostly it's going to be like either you're driving home from work or I'm driving home from work. But I figure this is just a podcast we can use just to kind of talk about whatever. Since you have a kid now,
yeah. And
obviously you're married, and I'm married with three cats and I'm always busy too. So I feel like this is a good way for us to just kind of stay up to date with each other, considering how much stuff we got going on. So
yeah, and I think that's a perfect transition into my new purchase recently of my Nintendo Switch. And how that is like another old hobby I'd love to, you know, gaming, something I haven't been able to do for a while consistently. But the Nintendo Switch has really been like a way for me to do that, because I could just sit down with my son and play while he's going to sleep, or I can, you know, take it with me. And when I have breaks at work, like lunch, I can get some gaming in. Did you see like a big improvement in your game time, you know, considering you're in the adult world as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, I try to play PlayStation as much as I can, just because I got so many games that I want to play on there, especially because I like RPGs a lot of JRPGs, so they're time-consuming. But mostly when I'm on PlayStation, I'm either trying to cram in an RPG or I'm playing Fortnite with Tay, who's my wife. So a lot of times, honestly, I got to check my hours on Switch. I know they just updated.
I guess they didn't reset.
Saying you have 0 hours.
Yeah, they didn't reset.
Well, yeah, it's like a glitch, I guess. But I mean, I think I might have more hours logged on my Switch than on my PlayStation at this point.
Well, that's insane, because you've had the PlayStation for, what, 2 years longer? 3 years longer?
Well, okay, I'm being a little hyperbolic. I'm just saying, I play my Switch a lot.
Yeah, I definitely see it. I mean, my Xbox has pretty much collected dust. We have Netflix on our TV, and the Switch has Hulu. So honestly, I don't really ever really need to turn
it on.
That's
true. I forgot the Switch has Hulu.
Yeah, if the Switch had Xbox as well, I mean, I would be squared away.
Netflix, me?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But
yeah, so it's funny that I was talking to you and Mike like a month ago, maybe about that, about how much I love my Switch. And so you had kind of originally last generation, all three of us were their Xbox 360 guys.
Yes.
Like just like straight down the, you know, we were all in line with each other. Before 360, I was always a PlayStation guy. Like I had a PS1, I had a PS2, I had a PSP. You bought me a Vita because you're the best friend in the world. And then I ended up buying, I think we both ended up selling our original Vitas.
Yeah.
And then just because there wasn't really anything to play at the time. But then I ended up reinvesting in the Vita after a couple of years, because there was like a rebirth,
and I did as well.
All kinds of Japanese RPGs and stuff.
I bought the Borderlands bundle, so I did.
Ended up buying. I bought a Slim from GameStop, that and it ended up actually having the left stick had a lot of stick drift to it, so it was unplayable for certain games. Like if I was playing like FIFA on Vita, the character would just start running upwards, so it was just unplayable. So I ended up buying an imported blue Vita.
Fancy.
Yeah, so I mean, I've always been a PlayStation guy. That's why it's funny when like you or Mike act as if I like turned on Xbox, but
no, I get it.
Me being a 360 guy really was me kind of turning on PlayStation in a way, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, you and me, our first connection ever was I had a PlayStation 2 and I was trying to get into Kingdom Hearts and I could not understand how to get anywhere in the jungle world. I was at a standstill.
No, you couldn't even find the cloth from Destiny Island.
Oh my god, you're so right. Yes. And then when I
got literally
in the
first like 10 minutes of the game and you couldn't figure out what to do. So that's funny. Yeah, that's actually another good thing I guess we can bring up is we started talking because I was a loser and you were a cool kid that liked loser things.
But I don't ever think and that so I was a cool talking. Kid. I think my...
You were... No, you didn't think so, but compared to me,
I
you
were like... I think my in, though, and this is why I wish like... Mike was here, because Mike was the cool kid, right? And then I got assigned with him in a project in sixth grade, and then all of a sudden, he was like, hey, I like this kid. He likes video games like me. He likes to do, you know, things that I like to do. And all of a sudden, I was a part of Mike's, you know, friend circle. And then everyone assumed that I was, like, this cool kid. But I always hung out with, like, Brian Lloyd, Matt Chapis, you know, all these kids that everybody considered, like, the geeky kids, like myself.
Yeah. Well, so, the point I was getting at is that you and I kind of first bonded over two extremely nerdy things, which was Kingdom Hearts, which is, like, the most anime video game that we had access to, because there weren't really any imported Japanese RPGs yet.
Yeah.
Except for, like, Final Fantasy, which Kingdom Hearts is in the same kind of Square Enix family as Final Fantasy. And Zoids, which, like, you and I were the only two people, I think, in the entire state of Connecticut that, like...
Zoids are the greatest. And they're doing like, a Zoid game for Switch. You saw that? It's coming out with a new anime series.
Yep. So that's actually. And I posted it to... So I do a podcast, I do a PlayStation podcast called PS Best Friends, and I got, like, really excited. I sent the news of the new Zoids game to them, mm-hmm. like the two co-hosts I do it with, and both of them were like, what the fuck is a Zoid?
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like,
oh so my God,
like, I lost it. That's the moment I knew I had to do a podcast with you, because when they didn't know what Zoids were, I was like...
Yeah, that's disappointing.
That was, like, my Dragon Ball Z, because, like, I remember watching Dragon Ball Z as a kid. But I have zero, like, recollection of any of the characters or storylines or anything. Zoids was my Dragon Ball Z. Like, all these people nowadays, like, it's cool to like Dragon Ball again now, you know?
Did you go back like, and rewatch people, like, all the Mikey Dragon
Jordan
Ball?
Is like, oh, I like Dragon Ball. Nah, I'm going to check it out. I think it's on Hulu, or I know it's on Crunchyroll.
I watched every episode when I was downrange in Turkey. And I watched all the Dragon Ball, then all the Dragon Ball Z series. I did not get into the newest Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, I want to watch Super.
Super, yeah. I did not get there. However, the series is great, but there's something about Zoids that had... I think the coolest part, what made us both attracted to it, was the fact that you could get model kits of the Zoids, which was just...
Yeah, it was like Gundam. Like, Gundams thing. Was my other thing, you know? Yeah. Like, I love Gundams and I love Zoids. It's the whole mech thing, you know? Like, one of my favorite... like nerdy movies of recent years, and I know it's not the best movie in the world, but I just have a soft spot for it, is Pacific Rim, and it's for the same reason that I loved Gundams and Zoids.
What about the new one?
I just love fucking mechs.
You excited for that new Pacific Rim or what?
Yeah, I'm real excited. John Boyega finally gets to have a British accent in a movie.
Yeah. I definitely think that, you know, our start at, you know, PlayStation 2 and, you know, Ratchet and Clank was super defining, Kingdom Hearts was super defining.
Yeah, Jack and Daxter.
Yeah, and those games, they brought a level of fun that, it made me love being a gamer. I liked Super Nintendo and stuff, but I never really was like, I need to devote all my time outside of Pokemon, because as a little kid, everyone played Pokemon in the 90s. I mean, that was what you did. So for us, you know, when we got to PlayStation and it was that much fun and they had so many great games, it made sense. The reason we went to 360, I think, honestly, is because when it came to PS3 and 360, 360 just had a better social connectivity for all of us to, like, link up.
It was that, and it was the fact that the PS3 was $600.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That was a little bit of it. That was a little bit of it, too. But the biggest factor for me was I remember playing Halo 2 at your house with your cousin Alvin. It was me, you, Alvin, and your brother Tyler, and we were just playing custom matches. Locally, because you know there was good online in Halo 2, but
no, it was
I just don't think that. No, we were playing. It was before the 360 came out.
Oh,
we were playing Halo 2 because you guys were like getting hyped for Halo 3. I think you had a 360, but Halo 3 just wasn't out yet. So like Alvin was like, "Let's play Halo 2 to get ready."
You're right.
I had never played a Halo up until that.
Do you remember and when we played Halo 3
funny.
With
Halo,
the zombies?
Halo has ruined. Yes, but I'll get to that in a second, but. It's funny, that moment at your house has ruined, I can't tell you how many first-person shooters for me. Because the second that I played Halo 2 for the first time, and I looked down, and I saw, like,
your feet.
Master Chief had, like, legs and feet, it ruins other games, like Fallout, when you look down, and it's just nothing. Like, I mean, obviously I like Fallout, so I didn't write it off, but it's like, that's a thing that I noted, like, that's a pet peeve to me now, that Halo has ruined other games for me, that I, like...
Yeah,
looking down and seeing your feet. So it's funny. But yeah, so the deciding factor was when I played Halo 2 and I was like, man, I got to get a 360 to play Halo 3 with all my friends.
A 360, I think also that year early launch compared to the PlayStation was a big deal. Launching a whole
I think I got my 360 late, whenever Halo 3 came out.
Yeah, but the point was by the time the PlayStation came out, the Xbox that was out for a year, and I think they saw their first price drop at like a year and a half.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, that gave Xbox gamers a big chance to, one, get on a platform and start gaming and get comfortable with it before you could even get on PlayStation, and two, the opportunity to see those price reductions, and it came out at a lower price than the PS3 did anyways. So overall, it was like, wow, this is just a better bargain, and you're already in the ecosystem, and we were invested, and Mike had it since day one. So for us...
Yeah, I remember playing all the real bad launch titles with him, like...
Elder Scrolls, Oblivion.
Not even that. We played... remember, we stayed over his house for his birthday one time.
Condemned?
We were up all night playing, like... we're playing like Tiger Woods and like just a bunch of like,
do you remember Condemned?
Sports games. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like so weird at the time. I wish Mike was here on this as he, you know, we had some really funny memories with 360 for sure. Especially we were playing Condemned and we were walking around. He was like, look at these guys walking around all nonchalant. And I was like, bro, you're making that word up. That doesn't exist. That was in sixth grade. I didn't know. And he's like, no, man, it's a word. Look it up. And
you didn't know the word nonchalant. No.
And of course, like, it wasn't like I had a smartphone or anything that I could just hop on Google and look it up. So we got game, went to the computer and started looking up nonchalant. Like, oh, man.
That's funny.
It was, hey, bub. It was definitely interesting. But then I think when this next console generation came out, everybody was in the group was like, hey, let's get on Xbox One because all our games carry over and our Xbox Live tags and everything. It made
sense.
Well,
that was the thing, is we were just all invested already.
Yeah, but as time went on in the console cycle, like, I was just kind of...
You were in the army overseas, yeah. So you weren't really playing with us as much. Mike had kind of converted to only playing games like FIFA. And I wanted to play... I kind of was reverting back to my younger self where I wanted to play all these JRPGs that were only on PlayStation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still own my Xbox One, and I'm still glad that I have it. But most of my games, I play on PlayStation now.
Yeah, and for me, the reason I haven't... Well, like, I did get some PlayStation time when I was at your house. I did play the VR, which was awesome. It was definitely, like, game-changing for me. But even with that being said... Setting up VR and getting everything ready and having the space, that's like a big consumption of your time and your area, where I got that same kind of exciting new, I really want to play games again moment when I bought my Switch and I started playing Zelda. And I just didn't believe you for like months that it could be that.
That was the thing I kept trying. And that's what I mentioned earlier, how you guys kind of were breaking my balls about the Switch, saying like, oh, I want to play big boy games and all that. And I was like, dude, there are real games on the Switch. Like, even if you just want to talk Nintendo exclusives, I mean, you have your Marios and Breath of the Wild for Zelda. But not even that. There's so many excellent indie games.
Yeah, it's like an indie game haven right now. I think if you're into the indie
pretty
game
much,
scene.
It's for all intents and purposes, it is my Vita too, you know?
Yeah, and people are saying they're actually making a stronger comparison with the Vita to the Switch than the PlayStation 4, which I guess is fair because they have similar concepts when it comes to game design and the games that you're going to play on the go. However, I think that the Switch brings it to a new level because the technology is just... It's far more impressive than people initially think, you know, in this yeah. tablet.
It doesn't have the power of a PS4 or an Xbox One, but it's definitely more powerful than a Wii U. And a Wii U was able to still play a lot of really good games.
Yeah, the Wii U was more powerful than the PS3. So think about that.
Yeah. So the thing is, people don't realize, like, Nintendo specs out their consoles while they're developing their games. So Mario and Zelda are always going to run perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the only first party Nintendo game that I can think of that didn't run well was, I think, Star Fox Zero, and that's just because I think was supposed to be a Wii game that they ended up bringing over to Wii U.
Yeah, and I think that
like their games are always just, it's like how, like, it's, you know how like Apple products just always work with Apple software because it was designed for the hardware.
That's a very that's the same good thing comparison. With Nintendo,
you know?
Yeah, it
like
feels
Apple
the same.
And Nintendo are very similar in that regard.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like, this is my buddy, you know, my buddy named Chris. He was like, hey, I don't understand why you want a Switch or why you got one. It doesn't really make sense. It doesn't play the games that you used to boast about, X, Y, or Z. It's not powerful. It's late in the game. It's pointless. And I'm like, hey, man, I felt the same exact way. But the day that I got it and I started playing and I realized that this console quality game, as in the length of the game, the graphics of the game, the just in-depthness to Zelda, and being able to say, I'm playing that in my hand anywhere or throwing it right on my TV, it doesn't, you don't expect the same quality of graphics as an Xbox One or a PS4 or my PC, right? But you get such a high quality handheld experience that it you don't even think about that stuff at all.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even, it doesn't
that's,
come across
and that's
your
what
mind.
I love about it is, and what I would say to someone that doesn't have any video game console, or at least any current gen console, I would say maybe get a PS4 or an Xbox One first. But I think that having a Switch and a PS4 together is like the best combination if you're lucky enough to, you know, have the funds to own both, you know.
I think I could give you that recommendation as well because of the current library that's on Xbox and PlayStation. And I personally would say go with the PlayStation because the exclusives are better, hands down. So you look at the current generation of games for PlayStation and that lineup that they have and their exclusives, you get one amazing gaming experience for a pretty low value or a low price at this point, a pretty high value. But the Switch, that might be my only gripe, actually, is that the price of the games, like there's a game that was out on my phone and on Xbox. It was on sale for $7. I go to the Switch, it's still $30.
Switch tax is definitely a thing right now. Like there's a normal lost phone is a game that's like, it's literally simulating you being on your phone. Like you found someone's phone and you're trying to like figure out who they are by going through their apps and stuff. It's like $2 on iPhone and it's like $8 on Switch.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a thing. But I think as time goes on, there's going to be less of that, I think.
But Nintendo did a couple things that make me believe that that may not be the case. It may not change. Like the fact that they have the SanDisk memory cards that you could go ahead and purchase for half the price if you buy it from Amazon and SanDisk instead of paying the Nintendo Mario one that is twice the price. Like that's, to me, that's a little bit of kind of
like mitigating it.
Yeah, you're kind of like not attacking, I think you're taking advantage of some of the uninformed customers that may be buying this, like parents for their little kids thinking that this is just a kid's machine. But it's not. And any informed gamer like yourself and I are going to go and purchase the Amazon SanDisk. You know what I mean? That's what we're going to do. But the fact that right. Nintendo would even be, and in my opinion, it's a little grimy. The fact that they'd be grimy enough to do that to begin with, I don't understand. Nintendo's never been that company. They always price reasonably. They always do everything to make it fun for the consumer. Even their 3DS games were cheaper than buying a brand new Vita game. Like, why are they now?
I think what it is that they want to be serious about, hey, this is, like, we're not making another console anytime soon. This is our console. It is a home console that you can take on the go. I think that's the messaging behind it, and I think that's why they're making the prices what they are, because they want it. They don't want to give off that, oh, it's inexpensive, so it's got to be cheap kind of feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
But why would they go ahead and sell the same memory card for more money? That doesn't, I understand with the games, but with the memory card, like the accessories,
I mean, that's just capitalism.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I can't really blame them for that, you know.
Yeah,
because the option, it's not like the Vita where to buy a 64 gig Vita you have to spend $140 because it's proprietary memory stuff.
That's,
you know,
true.
Like, at least it's not that.
That's
situation.
True.
And so I'll give them credit where credit's due, you know.
So if we go back to the initial concept of us starting our friendship and gaming with the PlayStation universe, right? And now we're looking here at the Switch, and both of us are deeply developed to our new Switch. Like, we really like it.
I love my Switch. I think I play my Switch more than any of my friends that own a Switch.
So how do you feel about the fact that we could play one of our nostalgic PlayStation originals, Crash Bandicoot, for the first time on a Nintendo console, our Switch? Like, that has some meaning, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's weird because Crash is such a PlayStation game for me, and I own the Insane Trilogy on PS4 already, so I'm not gonna
and I do not
gonna pick it up again.
I don't have a PlayStation.
So for you, it's worth picking it up. For me, I already own it. So
yeah, but I think that it just makes a statement now about the whole video game industry, which is there is no true wall for exclusives anymore because they're realizing.
Well, Crash is owned by Activision. That happened a lot.
Yeah, but
time
think
ago.
About all these timed exclusives we're getting, right? Like, oh, I could play it for 3 months longer before you could get it on PlayStation, or you know, vice versa.
Well, Sony, I think, is the real company that is serious about having excellent exclusives. Because Microsoft, I mean, they have some like Halo, Gears, but even those games are technically. I don't consider this. But a lot of people are like, oh, well, technically it's not exclusive because it's on PSP. And it's like, I'm usually talking about Xbox versus PlayStation when I say, like, exclusive.
Yeah.
But people make that argument. But outside of those two games, I mean, Sea of Thieves, sure, it looks cool. My worry is that that's a game that people are going to play a lot for, like, a month or two and then just totally drop it cold. And then State of Decay looks kind of cool, but it's not a console seller. Crackdown, who knows if that game's even coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. PS4, like, Sony just has so many gigantic monoliths of exclusive games. You know what I mean? Like, Horizon Zero Dawn is, like, the game of the generation.
Yeah, I think that
I mean, Spider-Man coming out exclusive, that's huge.
Xbox saw this coming, and that's why Xbox was trying to press, let's open up our network so everybody can play and this and that. I think they were trying to
play the good guy card. I respect them for... Yeah, and that's why they rushed out a more powerful console, too, with the 1X.
Yeah, and the X is impressive, and you and I have talked about how we both understand it's an impressive gaming machine, and for this generation, it is great. But Xbox did drop the ball by not releasing that a year after Xbox One, or instead of the S, releasing the X. We're now getting
and not
this
only
now.
That, not mm-hmm. only that, it's a more powerful console that still can't play Horizon Zero Dawn. You know what I mean? Like, all the games that I want to play are still on PlayStation.
I can't think of whether one or not, game you know what I mean? That's like, oh, shit, I need an Xbox One X because this game could only run on Xbox One X because guess what? They're still making it for S, and they're still making it for the OG Xbox. So at the end of the day, you're never going to get a game like Horizon that looks that beautiful that a 360, I mean, an Xbox One, I don't think could play. You're never going to get a game like that because they're always going to have it ready for Xbox and Xbox S, not ready for Xbox One X only.
And that's the thing. And the other thing too is I know you have a 4K TV, or at least you did. I don't know if you still
I do.
Have it. I play on a 27-inch HP monitor. 4K means nothing to me as far as gaming goes. Like, it, and as far as movies go, I don't really care about it either. And that's just because I watch the same four movies. And that could be a whole another podcast episode about just talking about our favorite movies and shit. But I watch the same like four or five movies, and I watch Netflix. Like, I don't care about 4K for me personally. So for me, and I have a PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
Which is capable of 4K. And actually, they just added the update, which adds super sampling for 1080p screens.
Yeah, which is great.
I'm going to try that
out. That's what Xbox One X came out with, which was smart. But, all right, so 4K, I'll say this. I was very 4K heavy when it came out. I still enjoy watching my TV and movies in 4K. The clarity and the depth is great, right? When it comes to gaming... I considered buying either a 4K monitor, 144Hz monitor, or an ultra-wide monitor. I went with ultra-wide because I'd rather have high performance and good graphics at 1080p than have 30 frames a second at 4K. The resolution alone is not worth the fluidity of the game. It does take
exactly.
away from
I am way more of a frame rate person than a resolution but person. I would much rather a game at 60 frames.
Yeah,
at 1080p than 30 frames at 4K.
But you know what?
That's the reality of console generation gaming is it's never going to be 60 frames 4K until the next generation.
Well,
PC,
Switch,
you can do it.
Switch fooled
PC,
me.
I know you can do it.
Switch took me on a path where I'm playing 30 frames at 720p on Mario Rabbids.
On the go.
And I'm like, holy shit, I still think this is super fun and looks great, you know? And I was so convinced that I was like, this has to be 60 frames a second still, and it's not. The game's not like a fast first-person shooter or anything, so maybe that's why I didn't notice it.
Yeah, maybe because you know? The only movement you're really getting is like moving the camera around.
Yeah, but
and it's very hard movements in that game.
I've also noticed that on my TV, for instance, the 60 frames is more subtle, and I think it's because TVs use like a hyper flickering sort of technique to help because they say like 120 frames, this and that. they're just like doubling the photos that are popping up, right? That's like their idea of getting more frames. On a monitor, right, like a true gaming monitor, you really see that 60 frames a second. Like, it's a big deal. On a TV, I really don't think TVs are there yet where that means that big of a difference. But the monitor world, like, they're catching up, but the monitor world, you definitely get it. And on my monitor, if I'm playing 75 hertz, it looks way better than playing 30, you know? Like, so, I don't know. Nintendo just figured out how to do it right, and I think that was, like, the whole point of why I like it, you know?
I just think, and I think what you were getting at earlier is that Nintendo has just recaptured
the fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just fun to play. And I think that's why we love the Switch so much. Is I have spent... Okay, so I have Rocket League on three different consoles.
I don't have it on one. Have,
so it was a free PlayStation Plus game. Yeah. That's when I initially played it. But I didn't really play with anyone because I just didn't really have as many friends back then on PlayStation when it came out. Then I ended up buying it on Xbox. And for anyone listening, that's Brandon's son Nolan laughing yeah, in the background.
He's providing a laugh.
I bought it for Xbox to play with Mike. Yeah. I bought it on Xbox to play with Mike and his friend. And I just didn't really play it that much. I was looking at Rocket League on the Switch eShop, and I was like, I wonder if I will play this more on the go.
Do you?
I have not stopped playing Rocket League for the past week and a half, 2 weeks. I've done six offline seasons modes. I've been playing online every night. I just have not stopped playing it. It's just so, for me personally, it's so much more enjoyable on a handheld. I don't know what it is. And there's so many games like that where I'm like, I don't know if I'd play it on, I don't know if I would take up my whole TV and have to zone into this and play this game. But on Switch, I Am Setsuna is a perfect example. I Am Setsuna is a JRPG. It's made by Tokyo Game Factory. And they're owned by Square Enix. It's a very Final Fantasy-esque RPG game. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want to sit down and dedicate hours and hours in front of my TV to that. But I got it on Switch, and I play it on my lunch breaks at work. I play it in the car if Tay's driving somewhere. I play it, in bed while she's watching Netflix. And it's just, and you still have that option to play it on TV if you want to.
And I think that's a big comment that you made there. And I never thought of it this way, right? But why do you think Pokemon's the best-selling RPG in the world? Because the portability of it. And I think that really does say something, because people like that ability to be like, hey, I'm just going to go play some Pokemon. And you could still do other things. TV could be on. A show could be on. You could be hanging out with other people. But you could still play your game and still be immersed in everything around you. That happens with the Switch. And like you're saying, I'm on lunch breaks. I'll be playing Zelda. And my friends will come over and they'll be like, oh, that looks so cool. And then we'll talk while I'm playing the game. And I'll pass it around. And it's just a cool experience. And that's the same way it was with Pokemon as a kid. You know, so Nintendo kind of found that joy that you got, and they just amplified it and made it work. And the games like you're talking about, that's what it's great for. Take a long RPG, play it anywhere. I honestly think that Nintendo Switch will be my RPG exclusive console from now on. I don't think I'll play another RPG off the Nintendo Switch.
Unless it's something that you can't play, like The Witcher, which I don't know if you would play those anyways, but you know what I'm saying. Like, unless it's a game not on Switch.
Octopath Traveler, the first RPG that I am super excited for. Not only do I think it's the most beautiful game that's come out in quite a while, and people will argue with me on that because they don't like the style.
Oh, the pixel art is so beautiful, man. How do you not like pixel
but
art?
But on top of it, the battle system is simple yet complex, which is such a... it's overused all the time when people try to say that they're
easy to learn, hard to master type.
But
thing,
it is, it's just so great. It just played well. I've played the demo for maybe 3 hours now. I have, and I'm just sitting there man, I enjoy every single new thing I learned in the game. And I haven't played an RPG that Final Fantasies weren't my thing, but for some reason this game speaks to me more than a Final Fantasy game. I don't know why.
It's funny because the developers of Octopath Traveler, I like how they just dropped the project and it's just called Octopath Traveler now. The developers of that are the same developers as Bravely Default, which was on 3DS, which was in the style of older Final Fantasy games. So it's funny how I think you would like older Final Fantasy games. I think it was the 3D ones on PS1 that you didn't really like.
Yeah, and I think that, I've played, what was the one that came out on DS originally? Was it 4 or 5, maybe?
I think it was Final Fantasy 3. It was like the chibi art. I remember I gave it to you.
Yes, and I played the shit out of that, and I truly did enjoy it. I got to a point where I was too young or naive or lazy to figure out what to do next, but I was pretty far into the game. I was like probably in the final like 10 hours or so, and I kind of gave up on it. But I did enjoy that, and you're right. Maybe it was the complexity of the art style, or that maybe I think when they got the new technology, they just tried doing maybe a little too much, in my opinion. Like 7, I couldn't walk 10 feet without a goddamn paddle, and I was like, I'm gonna die.
See, that's why I think you would enjoy the PS4 like version of 7. Like, they re-released the PS1 version on PS4, but they added it so you can turn off random encounters, and like they added all kinds of little cheat codes like that that didn't disable trophies. I think if you went back and tried playing Final Fantasy VII on PS4, you actually would like it.
Yeah, and maybe I would, but...
like, they made a lot of quality of life fixes.
The great thing that I don't need to worry about going back and trying to relive these old memories, because we have developers making games like Octopath Traveler that bring back those great old-style fun games, but make them feel so new. Like, Octopath Traveler
feels so new. And that's what's great about
new.
Tokyo RPG Factory, going back to them, the studio they made, I Am Setsuna. They're a studio dedicated solely to making older games that are in that older RPG style. Like, I Am Setsuna and Lost Sphere, which is their second game that just came out recently, I think last month or in January, I think. Those two games, I mean, Lost Sphere, I heard, got kind of okay reviews, but I love I Am Setsuna.
Yeah.
And so it's good that we're still getting that
Lost
stuff.
Sphere,
and
I didn't really get any good vibes from, personally. Not something I was going to jump into, but you know, like I said, and I think a lot of people have been saying this a lot, Switch is making me try games that I would not have been trying otherwise. So maybe I will. Like,
yeah, no, I'm definitely right there with you.
Like in Xenoblade Chronicles 2, like I probably would have never looked at that on DS.
Or Xenoblade Chronicles, yeah.
Now, or yeah, you're right. Sorry, my bad.
And I mean, I've discovered games that are now like some of my favorite games. Like the Flame in the Flood is one of my favorite games now. And I never would have tried that on Xbox or PlayStation, because I was like, I just don't know if that's an experience on a console I would want. But playing that game on the go is so great.
Yeah, I really wish that I got the experience of Firewatch on Switch as my first time ever like playing that type of game. That would have been
awesome.
Oxenfree
is on Switch. You should play it there. It goes on sale all the time.
See, I have Oxenfree on Xbox, and I started it, and I was like, I'm not really into this. I don't know why.
But I think it is an experience that would be better on Switch.
You're right.
I think it is one of those games where it's like, I don't know if I want to sit in front of my TV and do this side-scrolling game for 3 hours straight. But on Switch, it's like, oh, I can chip away at it.
You're right.
Because I remember playing Oxenfree. I was remote playing it to my Vita. And I was like, damn, I wish this game was on the go. Like, I loved it. Like remote play on Vita. I was like, damn, I wish it was like actually on Vita, not like remote played. And now it's on Switch, so.
You're right. And I think that.
But yeah, I think that Firewatch would be an excellent portable game. I think Gone Home would be an excellent portable game.
My biggest disappointment with the library, which people are going to definitely disagree with me on, and I'm okay with that, is that I feel like the Switch is almost being flooded with really not high quality games as well.
Oh no, you are not alone.
So
in that.
I feel like
there's a lot of garbage.
It's becoming the next iOS. You know what I mean? Like, when,
well, that kind of is how Xbox and PlayStation are. We're just those ecosystems are so populated already that we don't really notice when a bunch of more shitty games come
out.
You're
right, but
where Switch, it's still being populated. So when we see, like, there was, I think in the past 3 days they've added like 15 games, and I don't recognize any of them.
Yeah, and
like,
it's not even
funny.
Not recognize them, because some games that I've loved, I didn't know what they were to begin with. Like Ratchet and Clank, I had no freaking idea what that game was when my mom got it for me. And I loved it.
That's a good point.
But the fact that you hop into a game, you hop on your Switch, you go to the marketplace, and they're like, oh, all these new releases, and you go on, and it's like, these games look like, you know, you learned how to program and made it in your basement at your grandma's house. Like, come on. Like, Nintendo, you need to start screening a little bit for quality. You know what I mean? Just a tad bit for something.
I don't disagree with you. I think there's a lot of people online that would agree with you with that. But I think that it's not just an issue with Switch, though. It's definitely an issue on at least PlayStation. There's a lot of garbage on PlayStation.
And I don't like that Nintendo uses the whole, well, we have a library of over X amount of games, because take out all these really, really bad games that are iOS games that they just somehow decided we're going
to
be
well
on
that's
Switch.
Like when Apple used to do the same thing. We have 16 trillion apps, like, yeah, but 7 of them are good.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Nintendo should be, but Nintendo did it right. Their Direct was focused on so many great games, and they bring really Noli they bring a lot of hope for me in like the Nintendo quality games. So we'll see what we get. I mean overall I think that this episode, our initial episode, turned into a Switch episode, which is kind of funny. But
that's fine, though. I think we've been wanting to talk about the Switch ever since.
I think it's just
because
it's a new purchase and it fits my lifestyle with my son, who's currently playing with his little trumpet.
Well, it's just interesting because I was a day one buyer.
Yeah.
And you bought it almost on its year anniversary.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see what your experience was like compared to my experience at launch, where there was 3 games on the eShop, you know what I mean? Whereas now you're like, holy shit, there's so much stuff I could buy.
And that's the funny thing is I did not even know when I bought it that it was about to be the year anniversary. That was not my intent. I just bought it because I was like, hey, I have some extra money for my taxes. I've been really looking for a way to love games again. And I've tried the gaming PC. I do like it. It's fun, but I can't always devote my time to it when you have a son. I had my Xbox, and I found myself playing my 3DS more than both of them. So I was like, you know what? There's got to be something to the portability of this machine that is going to draw me back. So I bought the Switch, and I haven't regretted it one day. I like it more than pretty much anything I've purchased in quite a long time. So
yeah, I do not regret buying it day one, because we'll close out the episode on this quick anecdote. So my friend Jesse, who you know Jesse, obviously we all went to high school and shit together.
Yes.
He pre-ordered a Switch. He actually pre-ordered 2 because he was going to sell one of them because he knew they were going to be hard to find. And I was like, I want one, but I might wait. I might wait until like Mario comes out, because Zelda came out on launch day, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to care about Zelda, but I'm going to want Mario. And then, you know, closer and closer and closer to the launch day, I'm like, fuck, I really want one. And I was like, I don't really have the money, but I really want one. And then launch day came, and Jesse is like, hey, I got my Switch. It's really cool. Like, he wasn't even saying it to me. He was just like, wherever he was talking, like, he posted that. He got it on Facebook or something. And I was like, fuck, I really want one of these, like, right now. Like, I wanted it so bad. And Jesse actually, I was like, dude, like, let me buy your second one off you. And he's like, it didn't come in yet. And also I'm supposed to make like double my money back on it. So I don't know. So it's the funny story is he had a friend who was a manager at Best Buy. And they told him like, hey, we got one returned unopened. If you want it, you need to get down here right now. And so he didn't tell me any of this. He literally just messages me. He's like, hey, you owe me $300. I was like, what the fuck are you like? What? Like, I didn't even like actually have the money to get it. I just said I wanted it. And he's like, yeah, well, too late. I got it for you.
Wow. So, it's cool.
And he's really cool about that stuff, where he didn't expect me to pay him back, which I think either I got paid or Tay made a lot of money that day. So she just immediately Venmo'd him the 300 and whatever it was after tax. But it was just so funny how I ended up getting one on launch day by accident, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, I understand this episode's about to be probably twice the length of our normal ones, which is fine. This is our initial
I think
one.
It's okay since it's the first episode.
But I do like to say that, I mean, there's something to say about the fact that video games in our world right now are getting a lot of flack, and like people are trying to put a spotlight on it again, which we both know has been proven wrong multiple times, the negative comments that are being made. But how often do really people talk about these type of connections, these type of friendships? That my connection with Mike started with Xbox, sadly enough. My connection with you started with PlayStation 2, you know, like these games gave us friendships that are going to last forever. They made us brothers, and nobody goes on and the press and starts talking about that. You know, I mean, those moments that you create these friendships or these bonds with people that are stronger than right. any
and
other
no
bond.
One talks about, you know, no one talks about like happy-go-lucky Mario who's trying to save the Mushroom Kingdom. You know, it's always the exact same scene, the No Russian scene from Modern Warfare 2. We've seen it a trillion times. Like, it's always, they should always show the same stuff on the highlight reels, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a topic for another day, though.
Of course, but I just wanted to end it, like, you know, throw that in there, like the way Jesse helped.
Oh yeah,
you out,
absolutely.
And the way that
I want to get, started. I want to maybe at another day, I want to talk about just our Wii memories because we had so many great.
Oh
Wii
man,
memories.
We can't even dive into that yet. That's so much going.
That's
on.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's a whole episode on its own. But I wanted to just tie that in quickly to Mario Tennis coming out. And I want to get it just for the Waggle controls so that you and I can play tennis, like Wii sports style.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Switch allows you to basically play those Wii-style games but with way more accurate motion is amazing.
And you don't need a sensor bar?
Yes. Yes. I mean, Nintendo, two thumbs up to you. You're awesome. You did it right. You knew how to get this done right. So
Nintendo is back. That's the thing. Is everyone thought Nintendo, if they bomb on this console, they should just be a third party and make games for PS4 and Xbox. No way is that happening. Nintendo's back in a bad way.
Yeah.
And it's good. I think it's good for PlayStation and Xbox as well because it gives them something to kind of look at and be like, should we adapt to this or should we, you know what I mean? So I think it's going to be good for the industry. So yeah, we're running like double the length of what we're normally going to do, but I'm glad we had a nice long conversation on the Nintendo Switch.
And we're getting Nolan's laughter at the end over here.
But yeah. He's excited. He's happy we're doing a podcast now. Finally.
So this is Brando, you know, and I'm glad that I could actually sit down and have some time with you guys and do this. Hopefully Mike's in this next one, if we could convince him on it. But yeah, that's all I have to say for now. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, I'm glad we can do this. This has been the PB&K Show, episode 1, and we'll see you guys in a couple days, probably.
All righty.